Let's get started. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Stephen Goulet. I'm giving a talk here now on Windows Azure Media Services. It's about video encoding, both the video on demand side and live streaming services that we have coming up inside of Windows Azure. It's a small group, so we can kind of make it interactive. If you've got any questions as we go through it, just stick up your hand and I'll try to answer them. I've got enough time to kind of field some questions along the way. Everybody hear me okay? I can hear me too loud. It's like I'm scaring myself up here. Our agenda, we're going to give you the 50,000-foot view of what Windows Azure Media Services is, give you some architecture and feature designs, talk about our partner integration models. Then we'll do a deeper dive on what we have in our on-demand services, our live services, and our client frameworks, which are the three primary building blocks for developers. And then we'll talk about some scenarios that we think would be very interesting with SharePoint and Windows Azure Media Services. Okay, so let's dive right in. What is Windows Azure Media Services? It is a media platform that we have moved into the cloud. We've taken a lot of the core pieces that were part of IIS Media Services. So if you're familiar with those, you know, smooth streaming extensions to IIS, essentially what we've done is ripped the guts out of that, moved it up into the cloud. We've taken some of the pieces that were in Expression Encoder and we've moved those up into the cloud. And basically hooked up all of the moving parts of all of those technologies along with some of our own new pieces to make a very comprehensive media platform. We have a motto in our group, which is basically, we want to be able to deliver to any device anywhere in the world at any time. So we're not strictly talking about Windows phones, although that's obviously supported, but iOS devices, Android devices, and the like. We're very big on a partner ecosystem with Windows Azure Media Services. Essentially, what we want to be able to do is plug in our partner technology anywhere in the video stream process, whether that's on-demand pieces or live pieces. And by way of example, you know, somebody has a better encoder than Microsoft has, fine. If that third party can come in and plug it into our media processing pipeline, and it'll be available for third parties to consume. If you want to have a third party that has a better watermarking tool for video watermarks, well, maybe you just come to the Microsoft portal, get that from a third party, plug it into your video processing pipeline, and you're off to the races. We're working with literally hundreds of partners in pulling them into our media platform ecosystem. Of course, everything that we build in terms of Azure Media Services, we start first with our REST API, so that anything that you see here in a UI user interface that I'll present today, that can all be done through REST-based APIs. Obviously, we focus first on C Sharp, but we'll have platform development kits for other languages actually coming online with our services SDK, as we call it, very, very soon. So what we really like about the cloud is that this workflow is really, when you talk about a workflow that's very, very well suited for the cloud, media really fits that bill nicely. I'll be talking a little bit about what we did for the London 2012 Olympic Games. We actually streamed to over 30 countries for the London Games. And one of the things that was a significant memorable event during the games was that the broadcasters came to us and said, you know, we've got these hundreds of channels that were already allocated inside of Azure Media Services. Can we get about 20 more in Dublin and in Amsterdam because we want to do some extra things? And they were expecting that to be a big deal. They were totally thinking that this was going to be, you know, a day-long exercise for us to set up. And we literally just clicked the button 20 times and said, bang, 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 bang. Come back in 20 minutes, here's your 20 extra channels to stream from, and they were off to the races. And they were, our broadcast partners were just like, really? And yes, really. It is that simple, because what we're focusing on doing is making it, you know, all of that hookup that you would have had to do with server racks and all that kind of stuff, we're focusing on doing all of that connectivity, setup, deployment, scale. We're focused on doing that in the cloud so that you don't have to. It's very cost effective as well. Again, for I'll use live events because that's my area of expertise. You have an event, you set up your channels maybe a day or two before the event, make sure it's testing properly, make sure it's running well. You don't have to set up any hardware. Again, we take care of all of that for you. When the event's over, you click a button and you're not paying for anything after you've deallocated your machinery. So very, very cost effective. You're using it, you're paying for it only when it's being used. Same thing happens with video on demand assets as well. So let's dive into the architectural pieces of what Windows Azure Media Services is. Across the top, you have our build on media partners and customers. And again, they are going to be talking through to Azure Media Services through our REST API. And there's two major building blocks inside of the services themselves, which is our video on demand services and our live services. And again, all of those pieces are on top of Azure. When you're actually doing a broad event, you're going to have some CDN services and then your various client libraries, depending on how many devices and which formats and form factors you want to target. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into these areas. Starting on the left, we have secure media ingest in terms of our video on demand features. The ability to encode and transcode your content. Basically, what we want to be able to provide to our customers is the ability to take in, again, any format, MP4, for example, or MPEG 2TS, our TMP, take in any of those formats, and then basically stream it out on the outbound side, either in the video on demand world or the live world, in any of the other formats that clients will consume, whether that's smooth streaming, Dash, HLS, and so on. So we will be able to do that encoding. We have a bunch of, essentially when we set up a media service inside of your account, we give you a chunk of machinery with all of these encoding facilities installed and configured on it. And then again, through this REST API, you can do what run whatever encoding jobs you like. And I'll show you that in a demo in a few minutes. We have an on-demand origin service, so if you actually want to play those back, those videos back, directly from blob storage inside of Windows Azure, we make it very simple to do that. We enable content protection through PlayReady, and we have a media job scheduling service that sits on top of all of this as well, so that you can schedule your jobs accordingly. You'll notice that down here in this block, we have this first reference of our build-in partners. That's again where we'll take third-party technologies, and if we have a business arrangement with those third parties, you'll be able to plug that technology right into the media processing pipeline. Essentially, it becomes, to the consumer of that, just another Azure Media Service service. And again, that can be just about anything that can act on the media. It could be looking at metadata, it could be looking at the audio feed. We actually have some interesting technology that's coming through in our general release early next year, which is the ability of one of these built-in media processors has the ability to read the audio stream, do the voice-to-text thing, and basically auto-generate closed caption for you, all on an automated fashion. Kind of cool. On the live side, we're going to have live ingest support, obviously the ability to get a guaranteed bandwidth stream inbound for a live presentation. We're going to have our live origin services to the so that you can do the live streaming out to the masses. We'll have advertising plugins. We will eventually have the ability to do live encoding. That'll be probably sometime early next year. That's the ability to take in any kind of live feed and then transcode it in real time on the fly to multiple different output sources or output formats. We will be having our own analytics plugin package as well as third-party analytics. And then, as I was just discussing in the middle of the room here a little bit earlier, we'll be doing some identity management integration work so that you can set up scenarios like you want to have a subscription service. Well, you do this, we'll provide some of the identity management integration, allowing you to set up a user database. Determine what videos in your repository that they might have access to, and then actually go through the whole site creation to create a paywall, video rental store, those kinds of scenarios. On the live side, same kind of thing applies. If you want to do a kind of pay-per-view event, you'll be able to very easily create a live channel, hook up the identity service to it, and then hook up your payment systems, and you're off to the races. One of the things that is very, very cool about the cloud is that once we've built it in one data center, we can start pushing it out to any data center that Azure runs on. So you can have your media services deployed in Dublin, Amsterdam. There's actually four of those green dots in North America now. We're opening up a data center in China very shortly. So, you know, this global availability of the media services is, you know, very nice and very easy for you to sign up and manage. And I'll show you that in a few moments. So, quickly, I'll just come to our first demo. So, again, I kind of mentioned that all of our pieces inside of the Azure Media Services platform are all built on top of REST API. No Microsoft presentation would ever be complete without good old Contoso showing its very aged face. So we have here a Contoso skin that was built on top of our video on demand services. It's a little bit slow because this is actually running out of, I believe it's Amsterdam, where this particular deployment was made. But you get to understand or see at least some of the first pieces of Windows Azure Media Services. And this could be any skin that's put on top of it, because again, we want to be kind of the platform that's underneath a number of third-party solutions. And again, the end user may or may not know that Windows Azure Media Service is running behind in any of these solutions. So you have the first concept that I'll introduce to you in our video on demand area, which is our assets. When you have any form of content that you're going to put through the Azure Media Platform system, we call that bucket of data an asset. And it has a number of attributes associated with it, locators, security tokens, things that are published on that asset so that when you move it through the system, we know that it's yours, we know how it's handled, and we know exactly what to do with it. The second thing that I'll show you here, the second concept, is our templates. And these are somewhat user definable. Essentially what a template is a number of tasks that will be running against that particular asset that you apply it to. Those tasks could be just a single encode. They could be multiple encodes, multiple things happening to that data. By way of an example, the templates that we used in the Olympic Games, one of them did was used our rough cut editor tool, and essentially what it did was look at a video feed, take a highlight reel of certain clips. The template would then be moved through our encoding process in the cloud. It would look at that video stream, take those clips, concatenate them into a single MP4 file, and then automatically upload that file to YouTube. No human intervention required at all, other than deciding what the highlights were. So all of that was automatic. So that was a multiple task template that was used for that. So next on our Contoso journey is our jobs tab. And basically what we have here is that when you have an asset and you apply a template to it and say go, that combination of things becomes your job. And that job has output, and you can see some of those outputs that are listed here. We also provide inside of our APIs a number of reports and things. And the other thing that I'll show you here, I don't have a tab for it, see if this is actually up and functional. So this here is our live dashboard that we, Nimbus, by the way, is the code name for Windows Azure Media Services. So if you see that in the slides or you hear me talk about it, that's what that is. What you're looking at here is the dashboard that we used for the London 2012 games. There's four channels. up and running. You see the health summary that's coming from our API that tells about the health of the input, the origin, and the egress coming off the channel. This is a little bit ugly UI. It has not been modernized yet. We will be doing that before we release the product to the public, so it'll have a much more Azure portal-like user interface associated with it. But again, all of this is very easily done by using our REST APIs that sit on top of Windows Azure services. Essentially, you're calling our REST API, you're getting an object back. I've got some code on this that I'll show in a bit. It gets you a list of all the channels and all the properties, and then you can do with it as you will. Okay, so that's an example of building on inside of Azure. And again, what we think is interesting in the built-in model, which is becoming part of the pipeline, you do get a lot of these value-add functionalities that come along with any cloud offering. Infinitely scalable resources. I mean, you're just allocating virtual machines as you need them. You can sell through and sell with Microsoft in a lot of these business arrangements that we have. The interesting point that I bring up whenever I'm talking to customers is if you're a built-in partner and you've got a technology to sell there, the Microsoft ecosystem is actually all geared up and ready to work with you. Our field, by example, is compensated whether they sell our stuff or your stuff if it's built into Azure. Doesn't matter. So you're kind of leveraging, you know, a sales force of, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 Azure salespeople from Microsoft to help you sell your product. And you can expose your technology through the Azure portal, monetize it through the marketplace, the Azure marketplace as well. So that was the build-in side of things. The built-on piece is just consuming these video on demand and live services. And exposing them in your website, in your SharePoint solution, some way, shape, or form. And again, you may not even know that Windows Azure Media Services is behind this thing at all. You can totally white label it, totally hide it from your customers if that's what you'd like. You will be able to deploy your pieces on your own premise, of course, inside of an organization, because it's just being built on and consuming those REST APIs remotely. We don't really care where it lives, but of course, you can always host that inside of Azure. And you can continue to show that on the marketplace at the same time. So an example of some of the partners that we're working with for ingest and encoding. Aspera for very high-speed ingest. If you've got a lot of content, we've got some partners that we're working with that literally have petabytes of content that they need to get into Azure. They need to do that very, very fast. We've got a partnership with Aspera, which does very high-speed UDP-based ingest. We're working with a number of encoding partners, content protection partners for play-ready support. And this is an example, this next one, this origin service that we have listed here, is an example of how open we want the platform to be. Basically, you can unplug the origin services that you have from Microsoft and drop in a third-party server. And the example that we have here is Wowza, the Wowza origin, so that you could, if you want the features and functionality of that particular origin server, yeah, go ahead and knock yourself out. And we'll support that and give you the ability to plug that in at your will. We've done a lot of work with Akamai. We did the London 2012 Games with Akamai. Obviously, they had the global reach and services and a lot of the customized implementation technology that you need for an event of that scale. We're working with a lot of build-on ISVs. And what these guys will do, the Delta Trays, the iStream Planets of the world, iStream Planets based here in Vegas, by the way, what they will do by way of example is incorporate our REST APIs into their workflow tools. Again, by way of example, the London 2012 Games, Delta Trey took our APIs and integrated the Azure Media Services solution into their tool called Fast Forward. That way, they were very easily able to control all the aspects of hooking up encoders, hooking up players, doing the content management thing that high-end ISVs do, but do it on top of Windows Azure. We're working with a lot of partners in building clients and devices. When I come to the client frameworks, you'll see that what we have is a very open player framework, player SDKs, all built on C++ that can be incorporated into any type of device, whether it's a streaming device, set-top box, Xbox, those kinds of things. So what's going to be available at GA, which again is going to be our first GA offering, will be later this month or early December. It's going to have support for on-demand workflows only, no live just yet, that'll be next year. Ingest via secure HTTP, fast UDP via Sparrow, we talked about that already. Encoding in the cloud, be the Azure Media Encoder first, but we'll be adding partner encoders very shortly after. Packaging, being able to package your content in various supported formats. Encryption with PlayReady and license delivery, origin services support for HLS and Smooth, and a feature that we call Dynamic Remux. Dynamic Remux is the ability to take a Smooth, something that's stored maybe in Smooth storage, a Smooth format stored in your blob, and then real-time transmux it to HLS, without actually having to put that on storage and incur storage fees. So you're really doing it on the fly, the conversion from Smooth to HLS. Caching will have support for Azure CDN and third-party CDN, as well as our REST API exposed through our services SDK. Okay, switching to this monitor again, just gonna show you the portal. Yeah, go ahead, what's the question? What was the asterisk next to? Partner player ready license providers available. That means basically what we do with Play Ready is we kind of go to market with the BuyDRM, companies like BuyDRM and whatnot, so that they actually provide some of those services directly rather than it coming from Azure. Azure Media Services. Okay, so let's go over to the portal. Oops, that's for a later demo. So this is there and available today. If you have an MSDN subscription, you can get this. You sign up, first of all, you get your Azure pieces going. And then what you do is you go over to the preview tab and you enable the media services preview, otherwise this won't show up. But as long as you've done that, it's anybody can get there. And what you see here is a media service that I've created. It is inside of our West location. And I will actually just walk you through the creation piece of creating a new one. We have a quick create. Let's call it SPC Demo 2. And as I kind of mentioned before, oops, lowercase characters. Okay, let's follow the rules. As I mentioned before, we're available in 6 regions. You kind of pick where you want this, which data center you want this to be in. You may have more than one, of course. You can create as many media services as you like inside of your account. And it's going to go off and create that. I think that'll take a minute or two to fully deploy. We are working on some performance improvements before we actually hit GA. But I'll come over into my my previously created media account. And you see I have a dashboard over here, kind of shows me a timeline of my encode jobs that I have run, which ones have failed, which are queued, which ones are currently active. I can come over to my content tab, and so there I have some content. Now I'm gonna do something a little bit dangerous. I was not gonna do it because I tried it in my hotel room last night and wireless is really bad for doing media. But I have wired here. Let's cross our fingers, hope it works. We're gonna actually, like I said, live dangerously, going off script. Okay. Let's capture something. Oops, video mode. Okay, hand puppets. Okay, it's about 5 seconds long. Get my face off there, please. Okay. I'll come back here to upload. Browse your computer. Hello, where did it drop it? Is that it? There it is. Okay, so now there's two things going on. It's still creating my old media service, and it's uploading that video to the other one. So, there we go. Okay, and I'm assuming that's all done. Let's come over and pick an encode job to run on it. This is where we actually store some of those templates for our release. This will be growing over time. Let's say playback on Mac, PC, output name, starter up. And you see that it's creating my output. Come over back to my dashboard. There's a little bit of a lag time. Yes, I'd forgotten about that. I believe there's about a 10-minute lag time coming back. So maybe as I go through the presentation, we'll come back and take a look at what was there. So it's doing this job. It's zero size. We'll come back in a few minutes and check that out. Hopefully it won't take too long. It was only 5 seconds of video. So now let's do a bit of a deeper dive into the Media Services SDK and talk about some of those objects. We have, again, that REST API for all platforms using OData 3.0. It uses standard HTTP, GET, POST, PUT, DELETE, etc. The library is available in preview mode right now. We're working on that Java-based addition beyond the C-sharp enhancements that we've made, and that will be available in December. And our whole philosophy, again, with these media libraries is that they're going to be open sourced on GitHub. So here's our on-demand workflow, and that some of that is actually going on in the background now. And again, you might use our user interface for some of this stuff, but we're actually, again, really in the business of letting partners write their own user interfaces that are custom tailored for their specific applications to do the ingest, encode, package, encrypt, and deliver. So on the ingest side, we have the ability to ingest assets into media services via HTTP upload or the fast UDP ingest with Vispera. We will have the ability to support bulk ingest so that if you have massive amounts of content, hundreds of files, hundreds of video clips, or whatever that you want to push, you can do that all in single jobs. We have taken, again, a lot of the guts that were inside of Expression Encoder, repackaged that, put that in the cloud, optimized it for the hardware that's running inside of Azure, and rebranded it to the Windows Azure Media Encoder, and put a lot of that, again, that packaging around it so that it makes it very easy to deploy on our Azure servers. But we will have support for third-party encoders to be, again, stuck into the video processing pipeline. We have our packager technology, which will remux from MP4 to Smooth, HLS or Dash, prepares the content in kind of a mezzanine format, if you will, for dynamic remux, and it also segments the content for delivery across HLS. We have a technology built in called the Windows Azure Media Encryptor, which sources from Smooth Streams or HLS, and then can encrypt with PlayReady or AES on the outbound side. None of this, the encryption piece, just so you know, that'll be available on the video on demand side. We're probably about 3-4 months away from having it available on the live side. The ability to deliver and target our origin services. If I have those ready over here, I do a refresh? Nope, not quite ready yet. A little slow. Okay, I'll come back to that. The ability to have our origin services hooked up to your media so that you get guaranteed bandwidth to deliver. Auto recovery and redundancy, basically that means, you know, if we've got a bunch of, if you're hooked up to Azure origin services, we will make sure that we are providing enough compute horsepower so that if any of those machines goes down, you've got enough in reserve. If they get rebooted for whatever reason, that's okay because you've got auto recovery and redundancy in place. Again, that's very similar in terms of architecture and what we did for the Olympic Games, making sure that they're highly available. And we will be doing a lot more in terms of integrating the Azure CDN, Akamai Level 3 Limelight CDNs into our origin services as well. So that is much more out-of-the-box experience. Our ability to target and cross-target, the dynamic remux feature. That's a brand new feature, part of the origin server, which this origin server is the kind of core bits that's inside of Azure Media Services that we use for both live and on-demand scenarios. That's going to be built in. Those features we're actually just wrapping up right now. The nice thing about that is you can store a single kind of mezzanine MP4 file and deliver it via either video on demand or even in live services to these multiple formats, greatly reducing your storage costs and making it so that you only have to manage really one piece of content on an ongoing basis. And again, we have the ability to provide play-ready support on top of that. So let's look quickly at our API and the entities that are therein. So we've kind of talked about an asset. Again, that's any kind of object that you create in your media pieces inside of Azure, which we store in blobs. You have access policies, which determines who can get at what. Your content keys, which is the keys to your content, if you will. Your certificates and things, various files, locators, which is essentially ways of referencing your content via SaaS URLs and providing locators so that you can expose those in your UIs and through your players and things. We have jobs, and those jobs I showed you before are the things that actually run against your content. We have job templates, which is basically a collection of the tasks that will be performed in any particular job. Again, you can have multiple multiple tasks associated with any particular job template. So now let's dive in a little bit deeper in terms of building in for partners. We have the built-in partner SDK. We have this entity that we create called a media processor. And that media processor, as I talked about before, that's the thing that you'll plug in to your media processing pipeline. And a media processor can do anything it wants with that media at all. We've had some customers that have actually done almost nothing in terms of the media. They just actually manage some XML metadata as the video comes through the particular task. Doesn't actually act in the video stream at all. But you have access to it if you want to. We call them MPs. On the live side, we're trying to find a better name because live media processor, that acronym comes out the limp, which not a great acronym at the end of the day. But we'll have the same concept on the live side so that third parties can plug in a media processor that's going to act in real time. That's the one difference between a video on demand media processor and a live processor, obviously. The live piece has to keep up in real time. So there's some performance requirements, but the same concept applies on the live side. Media processors define their own settings, presets, format. It's very, very much wide open. We're basically saying, hey, here's the content. What are you going to do with it? Knock yourself out. Do whatever you like. When you're done with it, let us know, and we'll carry on with the next stages. We have a partner onboarding process. If you're going to be a build-in partner, we've got to know a little bit more about you. If you're going to be a build-on partner and just consume the services, you don't need to talk to Microsoft. Sign up for Azure, start start using your account and you're off to the races. If you're going to be a built-in partner, however, that's when we need to know a little bit more about you, and you have to join the partner program, have to sign our build-in partner agreements, you have to implement your own build-in component as well, and submit for certification onboarding so that we know about your media process. Obviously, you're part of the product in a way at this stage, so we can't have you crashing the system or hurting customer data, those kinds of things. So you have to submit it to us for certification, and price it, get on the marketplace, do those kinds of things. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears over to the live side, but first, let's go back to our dashboard over here that we had on the live side. So you see on this here, our output has completed. It's 4.41 megabytes. It's published. No. Now, publish, basically that means, have I, you know, I've got my content here, but have I hooked up my content to my origin service? And when it says no, that means we haven't done that yet. So let's publish it. And you'll also see that you know, we've got our previously published piece up here. Actually, it just finished, so that's good. I'll come back to it. We just published it, so publish turns to yes. I now have a URL that I can use to play it. And let's hit play, and I have a built-in player into the portal. And there's my ugly mug with my wonderful hand puppets. And you'll notice that that's in Flash. So it's transcoded from the camera here, uploaded it, encoded it, and made it available in Flash and a Flash player. Okay, where was I? That's where I was. The London 2012 Games. Again, those were delivered to 30 countries. We had about 140 channels worldwide, and actually the very first thing I'm going to do is come in over here and show you the demo of creating a live channel. And let's just refresh, let's get here. So what you're looking at is a little tool that we wrote called Nimbus Live Explorer. It's just a WinForms app. It's part of our SDK sample code. We give it away so that people can really understand how to work with the user interface. On the live side, you saw some of the objects actually we had before on the video on demand side. On the live side, we really have two objects that we're dealing with from a REST API standpoint. One is our channel specification, we call it. The other one is our channel info. So in our channel specification, you're basically telling us parameters about the channel that you want to create. You know, it's whether you want archiving enabled, whether you want HLS, whether you want what ingest rates you're expecting, what egress rates you're expecting. And we want all that information so that we can go off and do all the math and drop down the requisite IIS media hardware, and you'll see some of this, what I'm talking about in a minute. We can drop all that hardware into place for you and give you your own dedicated channel. On the channel info side, that's when we've finished building the channel, it's up and running, that's stuff we're going to tell you. So on the left side is stuff you tell us. That comes into the API. On the right side is stuff that we tell you about the channel once it's all been set up and is running. The line that you see across the top is really just kind of summary information that's taken from both of these, the most common elements. So when we look at our, let's just go create a new channel. Okay, SPC demo. Demo. I'm very descriptive, as you can tell. Program delay of 4 seconds. We actually have built into the system the ability to have a what we call a program URL and a what do we call it? Actually, they call it a preview URL. That's in case you want to do something to that video feed, such as advertising insertion, voice insertion. And you, so what you do is you look at that preview URL, do whatever additions you want to the audio or video feeds, pump it back into your channel, and then it'll come out of the program URL. You can see from some of the samples that I've set up before, we haven't bothered with that too much just yet. DVR window length, that's 24 hours. HLS, whether you want HLS turned on or not. And basically, that's all you really need to set. You can leave the others at the defaults. You go off, and now I've created that channel. So let's just do a refresh. So here it is, SPC demo. But really, the only thing that's happened at that particular time, at this particular time, is a record has been kept in a database. That's all. It's a bunch of database tables, actually, but and technically it's Azure Table Storage, not SQL, but it's just a record of data. The magic happens when I do this right here, allocate. Takes about 20 minutes, so we'll just kind of put that in the oven and work with another channel. But essentially what's happening now is we're dropping all of that required hardware down inside of an Azure deployment that's dedicated to that channel. And we'll come back to this in a few moments. So that's how easy it is to create a channel. Essentially that API call was a single API that basically all it did was say allocate. And I'll show you some code for that in a minute. So let's pop it up back to the top again. What are the cool things about Media Services Live? Stream live content directly through the public cloud, lots of formats in the output. Global reach, being able to deploy very, very easily. I could easily have deployed that in channel in Dublin or in Amsterdam or San Antonio, Chicago, wherever. And of course, you do have to take that into account when you're dealing with a CDN because your content delivery network's got to pull it from the right place. Doesn't make sense to have a CDN pulling across the Atlantic or something like that. So you do have to do a little bit of research when you're really setting up a full high-end broadcast. We really believe this is going to change the game in terms of video content delivery, being able to set up kind of live channels at will, any kind of sporting event. One of our partners, MPS Broadband out of Sweden, what they're going to be doing is they have a product called Live Arena, which is basically setting up a video camera inside of amateur hockey games and just being able to broadcast them to the community. High school sports, college football, those kinds of things. We're going to make it very, very easy to broadcast those kinds of events. So speaking of those kinds of events, let's talk about the Olympics. We had 140 high-def streams provisioned across four data centers, Dublin, Amsterdam, Chicago, and San Antonio. It was very interesting working with seven operational time zones. Which time zone are you talking about? I don't know. We had 30-plus simultaneously running. So, you know, out of those 140, some of those were just in backup pools and being set up for the next event. But our peak max simultaneous channel allocations were about 34, I believe. 20 in Europe, 12 in North America. 1,500 virtual machines and over 5,000 cores of computing power were allocated from Windows Azure. You know, you can almost see the heat plumes coming off of our data centers when we started spinning these things up. Very highly fault-tolerant design, pushing to multiple data centers in the event that networking or something like that might cause a dropout in one of our data centers, gave us the ability to just switch over to another data center. So basically, Dublin was paired with Amsterdam, Chicago was paired with San Antonio as their respective failovers. Broad platform support. The screenshots that you see here are of the iPad and an Android device. Both of these players were built using our frameworks, client frameworks. I believe those are both CTV apps. CTV is national broadcaster up in Canada. And that's actually my iPad, and the quality on that was fantastic. They did a really good job of building that thing. Other features, I showed you our dashboard. We had a highlight reel tool that allows you to cut highlight reels off of your live feeds, even from multiple channels if you want to do that. Live results overlays. There's some very interesting technology that Delta Trey, our broadcast partner, had built for a lot of our customers. We're actually able to see real-time stats and overlays for whatever event we're looking at on top of the players. You know, a soccer match, for example, would show you when the goal was scored, give you some of the stats behind the player that scored the goal, those kinds of things. Very rich, interactive display. Again, our production partners with this were Delta Trey, based out of Italy, and the CDN provider that we worked with for it was Akamai. And they provided analytics services as well. So it was 19 days of 16 hours a day coverage. We had 100% uptime. We're very proud of that because it's not a fully baked service, obviously, just yet. Our general availability targets for live services will be sometime around summer of next year. Millions and millions of streams. One of the things that we just noticed, whether it was North America or anywhere, is that the viewing habits of the world are changing. Video over the internet is becoming more and more prevalent. We've got actually some stats that show something like 30 to 40% of all internet traffic right now is video. Our projections show that number is going to rise to 70 or 80% by 2015. So the internet's becoming just basically a big broadcast network when you think about it that way. We had 4,000 hours of live streaming that was encoded, transferred to video on demand storage. Remember earlier I talked about that job, that kind of transcoder that we had, that transcoder task that took a live feed, once the feed was done, did the clipping and converted it to MP4 and automatically posted it to YouTube. 18.5 petabytes of data delivered through Akamai. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of bits. It was a very successful event. Those are our broadcast partners that are listed across the bottom. So our architecture, briefly here, again, we had, those numbers are a little off, they're a little old. We had 40, 50, let's call it channels out of Dublin, and a replicated configuration in Amsterdam. And again, Akamai did the distribution out through their points of presence to our broadcast partners, all of which had a variety of different clients that they were supporting. But basics are, you know, Silverlight, iOS, Android, Windows Phone. Basically the same thing in North America for broadcast to Canada and South America, except a smaller channel count. Just 14 channels based in Chicago and another 14 in San Antonio. So again, for the Olympics, what we did was, with that multiple data center thing, we got the ability to really have very fault-tolerant design built into each data center in case anything was going wrong with any data center at any given time. We had the ability to switch right over. Some of that's a repeat from previous slides, so I won't spend too much on it. Okay, let's dive into some more of the developer details. When I had that user interface hooked up here inside of Nimbus Live Explorer, this app is talking to a service that's in the cloud that we call our admin service. Very simple REST API that allows you to manage your live channels. You don't talk to a channel directly. You talk to the admin service, and the admin service gives you your channels, basically. Does the things that it needs to on your behalf, such as provisioning these resources, monitoring those channels, aggregating ingress and egress stats, and making them available to you. A channel is a single live feed. You give us some information about that live channel. Tell us what you want in terms of ingest, egress, what formats you want. We store that in a database. Again, we don't have real-time encryption ready in our current builds, but that'll be coming online sometime early next year. And the other thing that you can do with it, once your live event is finished, you can archive it to blob storage for later video on demand processing. So I talked about it earlier being a very few lines of code. This is kind of some pseudocode that we have, basically showing you what I did inside of that user interface. Again, the very first thing you do is you hook up to the service. That's the first line of code up there. You give us a channel specification, which has those, you know, details, descriptions of what your channel properties are. And then we save that, and we save it, again, to a database. The magic happens on that allocate channel that you get back. That's when we go off, we reread that data out of the database. We say, aha, that's the channel characteristics. That's how many machines we're going to need. That's how many origin services, that's how big they need to be in terms of small, mediums, and large in terms of Windows Azure. So the first thing that it does is it drops in a couple of ingest servers. And then we have our origin servers that get dropped in. The ingest servers don't do much other than fan the signal out to those origins. Those origins are the things that provide the actual manifests. They provide the video fragments that go to the players or to the CDN. And then we have some caches just to make sure that we have the right scale and that we don't overtax our origins. So in the very right-hand side is our load balancer. And if you look at signal flow, it's obviously from left to right. We then hook up all of those machines, make sure that they all talk to each other. There's a load balancer sitting inside of Azure as well that will send our traffic to one of those two ingest servers. Again, a lot of this is just there for fault tolerance and redundancy, make sure that in the event of one of those machines going down, which if you're not familiar with Azure, they do reserve the right to recycle any virtual machine at any time. So you have to kind of build that into your architectures for fault tolerance and redundancies that your servers can handle a recycling. So then you hook up your live encoder feed and you stream it out to your CDN and you're off to the races. But we do all of that on that single line of code, that allocate method. So it's a pretty beefy line of code, as I like to say. And then what you do is you stick that into a loop and you go bang, 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 bang. And again, that's exactly what we did for the Olympics, is just kind of stuff that into a loop. There you go, there's your 100 channels, there's your 140 channels, they're all created. And you're off to the races. So, again, I tried it in the hotel room last night, did not work, but we're gonna try it again. We're gonna get a live channel up and running. So, first thing I am going to do is go back to this guy. You'll see this guy right down here, SPC demo is still in the provisioning state. Oh, thank you. You'll see this channel that we created is still in the provisioning state. Like I said, it takes about 20, 25 minutes. Here's one that I created earlier. It's in an idle state once you've done it, meaning it's there, it's ready, but it's not actually accepting any video streams at this point. We're gonna hit start and then refresh. It's in the starting state. That should only take a few seconds. Actually, we'll come back to that in a moment. Now, let's then go to Expression Encoder, fire it up, live broadcasting project. Okay, add a live source. My integrated camera, let's leave it at that. My audio device, leave it at that. Let's do widescreen, 264, that. And we'll apply that. This is not a very high powered machine, so I'm just gonna kill some of the bit rates that it had here. Let's even take it down to one. Oops. Keep it 200 bit rate. Okay, that looks like it's good to go. Don't think there's anything else. But now let's come back to our user interface over here. It's in started state, so it's actually good to go. We now come down and we grab our ingest URL. And let's come back into expression. Output, streaming, publishing point, and let's copy that in there and do a connect. It says it's good to go. It's not liking something. Streaming output live. What did I do wrong? Cue. Start. Okay, now we're off. We have it going in. Let's see if there's anything coming out. So come down here, grab our program URL, and go over to, let's fire up a new copy of the browser. Copy the program URL in there. There it is. And as I was doing before, let's do a wave. I believe there's about a 30 or 40 second latency. I've got to get rid of those bags under my eyes. But that's it. That's how complicated it is to hook up create a channel, create a live channel, create your input, and then create your manifest that you get back from the program you are, stuff it into a player, and you're off to the races. So, that's a pretty good segue, I think. That's about when I walked off the screen right there. Okay. And we'll get rid of the volume on that because I can hear myself 30 seconds in the past. Okay, so that's a good segue into our client frameworks pieces. Sorry it took so long to get to the integration with SharePoint, but this is how you would start to do some of the integration with SharePoint, is figuring out what kind of clients you want, how you'd integrate that via HTML, via Silverlight, via Flash, into your SharePoint experience. So we're very big on, you know, very broad reach, not only Microsoft endpoints, which are the usual suspects, Silverlight, Xbox, Smooth, Windows Phone, Windows 8, of course, and Dash. Dash is a new format that we're championing along with Adobe. Sorry, the volume's come back there. Which will be the new broadcast standard probably in about 2 years. But we're also supporting non-Microsoft endpoints through a couple of technologies. First is our Smooth Streaming Porting Kit. It works for both Smooth and Dash. Our Flash plugins that we have an iOS SDK that will actually play Smooth. There's a couple of ways you can get it to iOS devices. You can either do the HLS on output of a live channel or a video on demand channel so that you're kind of doing the native format, or you can use our iOS SDK, which basically what it does is it takes our Smooth Streaming format and plays it on iOS devices and makes it very easy for you to create a rich app using that format. Okay, I'm not going to go into all of the details on this, but essentially what we have is a number of layers in our application platform for Player Frameworks. At the very bottom, of course, is the platform that you're running on, Windows, Linux, iOS. We have a media pipeline that sits on top of that. For us, it's Silverlight. Then we have the raw metal pieces, our client SDKs and porting SDKs. That's pretty close to the metal in terms of C++ code. That's going to allow you to pretty much write on any of these kinds of devices. And then we have higher level frameworks, which will only run on specific devices, but they kind of get you there faster. So for example, if you wanted to really get something going quickly into SharePoint, probably the fastest, best way to do that is to grab the MMPPF, which I cannot stand that acronym, the Microsoft Media Platform Player Framework. It's on CodePlex. You go download it. It plugs into Visual Studio. You say new template, and you've got a player running in about 3 minutes. And all you have to do, even to get that to work with Live, is you take that program URL that I showed you coming off of Nimbus Live Explorer, and you pump that into the XAML that's output by the MMPPF, and you've got a player, and it works. And then you can take that web part and embed that into your SharePoint page very, very easily. We have HTML5 frameworks in the works. As you probably know, if you've done any video work on HTML5, it's not a very rich experience. It doesn't really do smooth, but it can do progressive downloads and fairly static video formats. We're working with the standards organizations and the Dash world, because again, once Dash becomes a better supported format, more industry standard support behind it, that'll be the successor to HTML5, or you'll do the HTML video tag with Dash specifiers underneath it. We have a lot of sample player out-of-the-box sample apps so that you can get going very, very quickly. Like I said, that MMPPF one is notable because it is literally cutting and pasting that line of code to get a full-blown player working. That supports both Silverlight and Windows Phone as well. I'll give you the slides for this because I'm not going to read the eye chart. What I want you to take away from this slide is that we have a lot of client pieces in a lot of different places that support the Microsoft video platform, whether that's in Silverlight or on Windows 8, iOS, Flash. We have an OSMF plugin that we just hit code complete on just a little bit, a couple weeks ago. So basically, if you want to support any of these formats now, you can get there from here with the Microsoft Client Framework Kit. Inside of the Xbox Application Developers Kit, we've actually embedded a lot of our technology, so that's a nice integrated experience. You don't need a separate kit, but a lot of that is from our team that we've pushed into there. Again, if you want to really go close to the metal and write a set-top box app, not that we do that, that's not for the faint of heart, but that's the technology, the SSPK, that you would use to do that. Okay, SharePoint and Azure Media Services. Let's just talk briefly about that. There's probably a couple of ways that we would think SharePoint is very easily integrated. I wish I had some more demos on this. We will actually be publishing some starter kits and things like that with SharePoint probably in about another month or so. That will kind of show how some of this stuff is done. But basically SharePoint, obviously one of its strengths is in dealing with metadata, lists, content-rich forms. Using the REST APIs that I've shown you, it's fairly trivial to see how you could kind of integrate and bind Azure Media Services with SharePoint and provide a very rich kind of customer experience. One of the scenarios we kind of think of, you know, is, you know, YouTube for the office kind of thing, where, you know, you have your videos that are being displayed by various employees for training purposes, those kinds of things, push that up to a SharePoint server with Azure Media Services sitting in behind that for doing all the transcoding, re-encoding, and origin services as well. Very, very easy, fast channel creation for those company meeting scenarios. Again, you don't want to set up a whole, you know, data center racks of hardware for something that's going to last a couple of hours. You come over to Azure Media Center Services, much like you saw the creation of a media service, we'll have that same kind of channel creation experience. You create that channel, it's up and running. 20 minutes later, you can then start and stop it at your will. When your company meeting is over, you deallocate and you're no longer paying for that channel as well. Okay, we're about wrapping up here. So key takeaways that I want you to walk away with, it's very, very powerful, very flexible, very scalable, industry strength. We did the London 2012 Olympics on the live and VOD pieces of Azure Media Services, and it stood up incredibly well. Partners can build in or build on any way they choose, very flexible ways of doing either one of those. Integrate your existing apps, very easy to understand. What we're targeting for how we bill, make that very simple, easy to understand, both for video on demand and live scenarios. For live, for example, it's likely that our billing model will be you get billed on a per channel hour basis. So if that channel was up and running for 5 hours, that's five times $10 or whatever our final cost will be. You can mix and match any of those services. And again, our motto is any device, anywhere, anytime, from any cloud, our cloud. So for more details and things that you might want to get more information on, our media service is in preview mode for video on demand encoding and origin services. General availability for video on demand encoding will likely be, again, later this month or early next month. The origin services will follow on either later December or early January. The live piece, which is the part that I look after, is in our technology adapter program mode, which is very early beta. It's by invitation only, but give me a shout and I will see what I can do about getting you in if you're interested. We still have a little bit of space left. That's my email address. Feel free to look me up. And that's it. Please remember to do the evaluation. Thank you very much. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now. Please, might want to step up to the mic so that others can hear.
Microsoft Academy, which is inside the Microsoft, the whole media enterprise platform, I've seen the session from there, and they don't use Windows Azure Media Services. They have a CDN. They work with some CDN vendor to do the whole streaming. So my question is, like, compared to that approach, what are the benefits you see by using the Windows Azure Media Services versus the, some third-party CDN client?
That's a very good question. So just to kind of repeat, I think you started by saying some of the Microsoft properties and things were not yet using Azure, and they were using CDNs and other capabilities, other streaming vendors and whatnot to deliver some of those things. From a Microsoft perspective, I'll answer that part of the question first. All of Microsoft properties this time next year will be working off of Windows Azure, working very closely with the Microsoft IT teams to make sure that they're all kind of ramping and loading them their brains with how to work these services. That engagement's actually already happening. So Channel 9 presentations, Academy presentations, those will all be done on Windows Azure, maybe even starting as early as next year. But certainly by this time next year, they'll all be done on Azure. The second part is that some CDN services offer origin hosting services, and why would I mix and match? Well, the way we look at it is that we're providing a much more reliable, scalable service that has a much better plug-in model from a developer standpoint as well. The core origin services that are offered by a lot of CDNs are really just kind of origin services that are meant to highlight their CDN business so that they can monetize their CDN. We don't look at it that way. We say, you know, we want just rich origin services, so we're going to be adding a lot of, you know, our own plugins, our own things to provide value add on that. And that, once you kind of start to include in all those plugins, that rich ecosystem that we're going to have on top of it, rather than just providing this little thing to leverage somebody's CDN, that model, is, we think, is just going to be much more compelling to people. Again, because that plugin model will allow you to do the video on demand stuff, live encoding. You know, you want to do live watermarking to put a, you know, your company logo up on the top right-hand screen of a video feed. Those are scenarios that we're going to enable, and we're going to enable that with our extensibility models. That's just not in the roadmaps that I've seen from any of the origin servers that come with CDNs.
A couple of questions for you. Would this be a good replacement for on-premise Windows Media Services?
Yes, very much so. And a replacement, or you can use it at hybrid modes.
Okay.
There are some scenarios where you know, you might want to have some kind of co-located device on-premises and then push out or up to Azure, and then use IaaS Media Services in enterprise scenarios. By way of example, what we did for our company meeting was we pushed the feed up to Windows Azure. When it came down into Building 18, there was an IaaS Media server there that kind of acted as that local rebroadcast server, because otherwise you'd have 100 connections kind of all coming out of Building 18 at the same time. You don't want to flood your network that way. So there's basically just a one feed going into Building 18, and then that IaaS Media server rebroadcast in that location. So there are hybrid scenarios where it's still going to be available, but I want to be very clear, it's not like we're discontinuing IaaS Media Services. The way that we architect this is a lot of the features go into that core server. That core server becomes part of Windows Server just like it always has. And then we put it inside of Azure and enable it on through our REST APIs. So we are very much continuing to invest and you know, further feature improvements and IaaS Media Services as its core, at its core.
Then we're using Sonic Foundry's media site for things like our company-wide meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we were to stream that? You know, it just basically ends up combining PowerPoint and live video. Would it be possible to stream that to this for
distribution? Yeah, and what we want to actually do, again, is with companies like the ones you've mentioned, we're inviting them to participate in this ecosystem. You know, if they have an offering that they think would be good to fit in the Windows Azure Media Services pipeline as a third-party plugin, we invite them to come to the table to talk to us, and we'll figure out how we both build the technology and have the business go-to-market pieces built up around it.
Thank you.
I'm sure you can't speak to all of Azure about this, but will the security features you mentioned also apply to the CDN portion as well? Because historically, Azure CDN has never been very secure. I mean, you have to make your blob container public to even make it available to CDN.
Right. We can speak very openly about what we're doing with the CDN. As a matter of fact, the Azure Media team, we kind of own the relationships with Akamai and CDN for the whole company, in at least in terms of media and partnerships and things. Again, we work very closely with them on the Olympics. We are going to continue to invest in those kinds of partnerships very closely. Don't get me wrong, I love the Azure CDN, but it hasn't been around as long as Akamai's and the others, and it's not as feature-rich, and it's not proven in terms of a global event like the Olympic Games, so we will continue to partner. As far as the integration of the security pieces, those are things that are under development right now as we speak. We're working very closely with Akamai to make that a very integrated solution. And by way of example, I'm not saying this is how it's actually going to be, but what I want to see happen is when you come down and you create a live channel, you're coming through the portal, you kind of get to the last stages of defining your channel, and we ask you, you know, would you like CDN services along with it? If yes, well, do you want that from Microsoft, Akamai, whatever? And what kind of security do you want, and how do you want that hooked up from Akamai to us? Do you want IP whitelisting? Do you want token auth and manifest? Do you want fragment? You know, base security, all of those kinds of options will be there. You'll do it in a one-stop shopping mechanism inside of the Azure portal, and then we'll, you know, talk to the Akamai APIs or to the Azure APIs to actually string all of that up for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Thank you for coming out. Thanks for staying awake. I know the afternoon session, the first one right after lunch, is sometimes hard. Appreciate your...